Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Savior? I love that line. We have a Savior. This is Christmas. That is what the story is all about. That is what this time is all about. And what a joy it is to be able to celebrate at this time. As you know, we've been doing the unexpected challenge. As you see up on the screen, there's a graph that is there. Gretchen has been compiling the different responses that have come in, and I probably would say this is only a portion of what has been happening out there, because I'm sure that there are those that are doing the unexpected challenge. They're doing the blessing and just not reporting it, and that's okay too. But this kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of who is receiving the unexpected blessings. And there's one there, you know, the blue one that is there, that's for strangers. Just going up to some or blessing some stranger that individuals don't even know. So keep it going, keep it up. Remember that this whole thing is for one purpose. It's not just to have a cool graph and a nice picture. This is actually for the gospel message to go forth. We want to show the love of Jesus this Christmas season in an unexpected way to people that need to hear the story. And I want to just share with you this exciting bit of news as well. If you remember a few weeks back, we had the Christmas tree with the names on it. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought we bit off a very large chunk, and I was nervous about that. You ask the staff, I was kind of going, I don't know about this. But you know what? We did it. What was it, 94 kids received gifts from this church. Isn't that awesome? Amen. What a blessing. Unexpected challenges. So keep it up. Keep going. We still have a few more days. Again, if you have any stories that you want to share with us, go to that website that you see there. Write down your story. We'd love to be able to share it as well. What a blessing it is to read those that come out. And so keep it up. Unexpected. That is our theme for this Advent, as we are looking at the unexpected story of the coming of Christ. And of course, in a way, it's not an unexpected arrival, because they had been expecting the arrival of the Messiah for hundreds of years due to the prophecies. But we've been looking at different ones. Unexpected invitation, unexpected involvement, unexpected arrival. Now today we're going to, probably one of my, the part of the Christmas story that I really love, because it really points to the heart of the message of the gospel, and it points to this incredible announcement that was given, and it's an unexpected inclusion. You know, there are times in our lives where we find ourselves included in something that we didn't expect. Jury duty. Have you ever gotten that letter in the mail that says you've been selected for jury? They make it sound so nice. You've been selected for jury duty. I got one of those several years back. And you know what's amazing is the minute that you put down on that little thing, what do you do for a career? When you put down pastor, I don't think you get off jury duty any faster than by being a pastor. Maybe a pastor's wife. I don't know what it is, but they sent me back a note right away that says, that's good, you don't have to show up. please don't show up. But, you know, these unexpected things. I was actually watching a Christmas movie recently, and it really doesn't matter, because it seems like all of the Christmas movies kind of do this same thing, especially when it's got kids in it. They get included in some unexpected way. For example, in this particular movie, there was children, and they saw, or they happened to come upon Santa's sleigh. And so what do? They climb into Santa's sleigh because they're curious what's in the bag, right? You know, every Christmas story has that. So they climb in, and while they're doing that, Santa just so happens to come back to the sleigh, so they hide, and Santa starts to take off. Eventually, Santa realizes, wow, I've got children in my sleigh. Now, any normal adult at that point in time, what would you do? You'd turn the car around and take them back home. But no, in the movies of Christmas, what does Santa do? Well, since I have you here, why don't you help me the rest of the night? And so he includes them unexpectedly in his delivery of the gifts. Lots of questions that come up from that situation. I'm sure that there would be a lot of police involved afterwards. But, you know, you look at this and you go, these unexpected involvement. And the story of Christmas has one of the greatest unexpected inclusions. And we find it in Luke chapter 2. Go there with me. And this is the story of the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. But we're going to start at verse 8, because on Christmas Eve we're going to read the whole thing. We don't need to this morning. But Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom His favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." This story, an unexpected inclusion, is really a story about the gospel message. And when you start to look at this, you see the unexpected, the recipient. Who's the recipient of this story? Well, there's multiple ones. It's the shepherds. They are the recipients of the message. On a night over 2,000 years ago, an incredible message was given. A message of the arrival of a king. Not just any king, but the King of the Jews, in reality, the King of Kings. If you were to be given the task to give a great announcement, one that would shake the foundations of the world, who would you go and tell? You know, when we look at that question, we would probably go to the ones who are the influentials, the people who are famous, the ones who are wealthy, the higher up, those who can make an impact on the world, the important people around. That's who we would go and tell, right? Because that's who, well, in our minds, deserves it. But what's interesting is on that night, of all people, it was the shepherds that received the message. Now, we love this for just the story. You know, it kind of has a beautiful rhythm to it. You know, while at night the shepherds were out in their fields watching, keeping watch over their flocks. And you know, the story just sounds nice that way. But think about who these guys were for a moment. The shepherds were the last people that should have received this message. By all intents and purposes, these were the last people that should have been told. Because, number one, they were the lowest, if not close to the bottom, if not the lowest, on the social ladder rungs. These guys were unskilled, uneducated, unsavory. They were not trusted. They couldn't be trusted with anything. As a matter of fact, in that day and age, one of the things that was common or well known was that a shepherd could not testify in court. You know why? Because they couldn't be trusted. They were liars. They were seen as that. And this is who they were. So really, they were the outcasts of society. They were the nobodies around. And on top of that, even put it, think about it this way. To be a shepherd meant that you were full-time, 24/7, being shepherds. You were watching over the sheep all the time. Always. 24/7. Does that tell you something? If you're 24/7, they were missing something that was very important to the Jews, especially to the Jewish leaders, the Sabbath. They had to work on the Sabbath. And because they had to work on the Sabbath, they were considered unclean and unfit for anything. So here are these guys that nobody would like, nobody would go to them, nobody would want to even be around them. They probably smelled like sheep. If you've been around sheep, that's not a great smell. And yet, these are the people to whom the message of the king came to. It should not have been them. You would have thought that in that time that the message would have gone to the high priest, the chief priest, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the ones who were on the higher echelons of society. But the angels went and announced it to the shepherds. And it brings in this question, why them? Why them? And we like to have this thing of, well, it just makes the story look nice. But do we understand that really the message, as we're going to get into in a moment, the message was for that kind of a person? As a matter of fact, if you go into Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 1 and 2, this is a prophetic message about Jesus. And Jesus actually, as he was in his ministry, he repeats this. But he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." So right there we see that the message that is to come, the Messiah, was coming for those who were poor, who were broken, who were hurting, who were the lowest of society. That's who he came for. So it only makes sense that the message would go to those who were in the same situation. But I thought that Jesus came for everyone. Well, of course he did. As a matter of fact, we see that in the continuation of the story in Luke chapter 2. We like to stop where I kind of stopped right there. You know, Mary pondered all of these things in her heart. It's a beautiful ending, and they went back and worshiped. But actually, 8 days later, Jesus was taken to the temple, which was customary to have happen. And I love that at that moment, there was a gentleman by the name of Simeon. And Simeon was a devout man who loved the Lord, who was very faithful in what he had done, and he would go to the temple regularly and worship. But one of the things that Scripture says is that he had been told that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. And we know 8 days later, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple, and all of a sudden, there's Simeon. And in verses 30 and 32 of Luke chapter 2, he says these words, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I have seen your salvation, which is for who? All nations. The message that came was for all, but it was brought to the shepherds, the ones who were the hurting, the ones who were outcast, the ones who were poor, but the recipient of the message is everyone. As we look at this message that we have, the story of Jesus, this is a message that is to go out to all people, especially to those who are hurting and downcast during this time. The recipients of it. But what was the message? The message that was given is an important message as well. Not only who it went to, but what it is that is being said. And when you see what, you know, the whole point there today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. And it really comes down to kind of, there's three things that they say within this message. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. It's more than just a beautiful message of a baby. You know, this isn't just that part of it. A Savior has been born. One who is going to change things. One who is going to change the course of life. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, is a about Mary, it says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. See, this is part of the message. Sin has permeated the world. Sin entered the world, and because of sin, there was that separation, and God knew that something had to be done. And so there was only one thing that he could do, and that was send his son. Sin had to be dealt with. The world needed a Savior. But that's not who the people of Israel were looking for. They were looking for a different kind of a Savior. They weren't looking for the Savior of sin, the eternal Savior. They were looking for a political Savior, one who would come and would alter the course of their political situation, the oppression that they were in. They didn't want to deal with their sin. You know, it's kind of interesting that it's easy for us to find ourselves in that same situation today. We want a political Savior, not necessarily a spiritual Savior. But that's the message that we have today. The one who is here, he is the one who is the Savior to save the world from their sin. What an incredible message that they got there. Not only that, but he goes, not only is he the Savior, but he is also the Messiah, Christ. And what's amazing about this is the Christ or the Messiah means the long-awaited one. Itself, when translated, it says the anointed one to be a king. The one who is coming, they said, the one who is born to you, he is the Savior. He will save the world from their sin, but he will also be the one that is anointed by God to rule. He is coming to be that. Micah 5:2, one of the beautiful passages in the Old Testament prophesying about Bethlehem. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." That's important. Because one of the things that we find is this, that the Messiah is not one who is coming for a temporal fix. Again, the people of Israel just wanted the temporary Messiah. They wanted the one to come to overthrow Rome and to make things right again. They wanted Israel on that upper status of what they once were rather than the oppressed. And so the Messiah was going to come. He was going to be a ruler. He was going to free the people from there, and they would be able to live the life of which they wanted. But this message that was brought to the shepherds on that day was one that you will have a Savior. He will save the world of their sin, and on top of that, he will be the eternal Messiah who will set up an eternal kingdom, one that will never end. You know, that's a pretty important one. The angel even told Mary, "Mary, you're going to have a child, and he will rule on David's throne forever." This is the Messiah, the one who is coming. And they heard that. They knew what that meant. He would be the king of the Jews, but he would be the king of all kings for all eternity. But there's one more part of the message that we often overlook because it almost becomes a tagline. When he says to them, he says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," we get that, "who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord." And oftentimes what we do is we just kind of breeze over that last one, don't we? It's a title, the Lord. But when you understand what this means, it becomes even more powerful in the message. He's saying you're going to have a Savior who's going to save the world of their sins. You're going to have a king who is here, but not just any king. This king is God himself. You see, the Lord is that statement. It is the name of God, of who Jesus was. If you remember, we read in Scripture that Jesus was there in the beginning. The beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word made His dwelling among us. And here the angels are announcing that the Word has come to live with man, Emmanuel, God with us. Even Jesus Himself declared that He was God. In John chapter 8, verse 58, He was confronted by the Pharisees. And one of the things that he said to them was, "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I was." That's an important, or I am, sorry, I've got to get that right. I am. That's an important understanding because that was Jesus declaring that he was God. I am the name of God. And so as Jesus was coming, as the angels were announcing this, that this child that is to be born to you, he's not just any child. He didn't just come and say, you know, there's a child to be born and we just decided to tell you. The child that is going to be born to you is one who is the Savior of the world. He is the King of Kings. He is God in flesh for all eternity. That is an incredible message. Do we get that as we celebrate this year that the message that we have is not just this Jesus came to be born. Jesus came to be born so that he could die, so that he could save the world of their sin, and that he could rule on the throne for all eternity as our God. That's the message. But I love the response of the shepherds. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but over the past couple of weeks, past few weeks, there is a repetitive theme that has been going on with every one of these sermons. You know what it is? Response. In every one, we've talked about the response to the message. This, to me, is the greatest response. Because it's the response that is expected or should be expected when the message is given to us. These guys, it's an amazing. Look at what they did. The message comes to them. I mean, you can imagine that this was a very shocking message that they got. This wasn't an email that came into them, okay? This wasn't a nice card that came in the mail. This wasn't a phone call. This was the angels appeared before the shepherds in the field. These are the guys that nobody appeared to like this. And all of a sudden, here they are, this angelic being telling them that a Savior has been born and he is the King of the Jews. And they could have responded very differently. But look at what they did. First of all, we see that they hear the message. They heard the message. You know, there's a difference between listening and hearing the message, right? There's a lot of people that can listen, but don't hear very well. And as a matter of fact, when you think about what they did, they heard the message. They didn't overlook it. As a matter of fact, in the passage it says, they were amazed at what they heard. It was all too much for them. And it actually, we can tell that they heard because it says that afterwards they said, we need to go and see this. They heard it. They understood it. They got it. But not only did they hear it, but they believed the message. See, this is an important part of it. You can hear something and not believe it. I mean, I have heard a lot of impressive stories over my lifetime. You probably have too. Have you believed every message that you've ever heard? Every story that has ever been given to you? You know, when someone tells you one of those tall, tall tales, you kind of go, I don't know about that. But look at what these guys did. In verse 15 of the text, they use the words, let's go and see this thing that has happened. Do you get that? They didn't sit there and go, whoa. That is a crazy story. Do you think it actually happened? You know what? Let's go and see if that happened. Don't we kind of tend to do that? Someone comes to us and goes, you got to see it. I did this, I did that, and everything else. And our response is, I'll believe it when I see it. The shepherds, their response was this. We've heard it. We believe it. Let's go see this thing that has happened. They believed it. Not only did they believe it, but they acted upon it. They sought after him. Now, this is a part where a lot of times it stops right there because they could have easily said these words. That is incredible. A Savior has been born to us. You know, what a great thing. The Messiah is here. But you know what? We have all of these sheep that are here. And we can't leave them. Otherwise, something bad might happen. But they didn't do that. As a matter of fact, the shepherd said, you know what? We need to go and see this thing that has happened. We've got to go. We can't stay here because we've got to seek after him. We've got to find him. We've got to find the king. But they also continued after that. It says that after they had seen the child, all of a sudden the next natural thing for them to do was to go and tell everybody. They talk about it. They shared the story that they had. It says that they went out and they spread the word concerning what they had. They couldn't stop talking about it. It was such an amazing thing. I mean, this is natural. When something incredible happens to you, what do you do? Do you just sit there and go, wow, that was incredible. I better keep it to myself. No, we call up our loved ones. We call up our friends, right? You win the lottery, what are you doing? Well, that was kind of cool. No, you're going to call up your family. You're going to call up your friends. You're going to go, guess what just happened? I won the lottery. Now, maybe a smart person wouldn't go and tell everybody, but, you know, when something really good happens, that's what we do. We share the message. We share the story. And here these guys have been given a message. They saw the child, and just as they had been told. And they said, we've got to go and tell people about this. Now, remember who they were again. These were people that nobody would listen to. But yet they still said, I've got to go tell. And people were amazed at what they heard. They sought after him. They talked about him. But then there's one last response that they had. They worshiped. They worshiped following. You know, it wasn't just them. Remember the Magi, they came and they bowed and they worshiped him there. But here we actually read that after they left Mary, they went back to their jobs. It says that they were glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and all that they had heard. They went back with a heart of worship. It had changed who they were. It had impacted how they lived. And they couldn't go back and just be the same shepherds that they were before. They were now changed and they had to worship. Now I want you to see something that's pretty amazing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. The response of the shepherds is a picture of what our response to the message of the gospel should be. In Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 9, Paul puts it in these words. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The Lord, the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching or telling them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent, as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We often take that passage and we kind of split it into two. We make one about salvation. We make the other half about missions. But when we think about this, those two are put together. Do you see in there the response to the message of the gospel? It is the same response that the shepherds had. It starts with hearing the message that a Savior has been born. We receive that message ourselves, every one of us. What is our response? Do we hear the message? You know, I've heard several times in people's lives where they said, I was in church ever since I was a boy, but I didn't hear it until I was an adult. I lived my whole life not understanding the gospel until I finally opened my ears and heard. And I don't know, maybe this morning, maybe this is the day where you finally hear the message of a Savior being born. But Paul even says after that, you got to believe it. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believing in the message is crucial to the message of Jesus our Savior. It's interesting because we'll hear people say, oh, I prayed the prayer. You understand that nowhere in here does it say to pray a prayer. It says to believe that God raised him from the dead. Do we believe in the message of Jesus? Then after we believe in the message of Jesus, do we like the shepherds? And as Paul says, do we seek after him? It says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Do we understand what that word gives us a picture? Who calls on the name of the Lord isn't just simply, I'm going to sit down and go, oh, you know what, if I pray this prayer, then everything is good. No, to call on the Lord means to reach out for him, to seek after him, to want more of him. The response to the message is one that requires us to seek hard after him. And then even Paul makes it clear that once we have done that, that we need to talk about it. The way he puts it is, how can someone hear if somebody doesn't tell them? You know, what an incredible thought that is. If you live in a family, how many times do you hear well, I didn't know about that. Well, didn't I tell you about that? You're talking about schedules. You're talking about calendar. Man, you know, it happens all the time in churches too. There's been times where we've received calls that are angry people within church. I didn't know that event was happening. Somebody should have told me. We like to tell one another, don't we? We need to share the message. And that's what happens. That's why we're doing the unexpected challenge, is this idea that as we bring Jesus out into the world, that it opens the door for us to talk about Jesus. We've got to share him. And of course, Paul even says we need to worship him. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Do we worship him all the time? Is my life one of worship? Do I live in the wonders of who Christ is? As I look at the story of Jesus in the manger, do I see the Savior, God in flesh? Let me ask you this question, especially in the day in which we find ourselves. Is worship more important to you than your rights? That's a tough question for us today. You see, in the time that the shepherds received the message of Jesus, they were not in a place where they had many rights. And yet they went back glorifying and praising God in the midst of who they were, the outcast, the down and outers, the poor, the hurt, the broken, those who had nothing to give. And worship became their response. Has the message of Jesus changed my life so much that my only response is to worship my King? The shepherds, by all accounts, should not have been included in this incredible message. Neither should you and I. We don't deserve such a wonderful message, a message of a Savior, a Messiah, and a King. But the question is, what are you going to do with the message? What will your response be today? That only we can do ourselves and understand. Let's pray. Father, this story that we have is such an incredible and powerful story. It's not just a story of a baby in a manger, but it's the message of God in flesh, putting into motion the plan that you had established since the beginning of time, that for the forgiveness of sin, that you would send your Son, not just to live, but to die. Lord, may our response to your death and resurrection of the cross be one of belief, be one of grabbing a hold, worship as we live out every day this incredible message. We thank you for including us, those who should never have been involved. never included. But because of your great love for us, you gave us your gift. Help us to live it well. In Jesus' name, amen.